Miss Schofield, reel one.
Where were you born? Have you always lived here?
No, I was born in Mosley, near Manchester. Came here when I was 2 and a half. And then we moved when I was 4. And then moved again after the last war. No, sorry, after the first war, to the house we're in now.
What did your father do?
He was a master decorator, but he was the quartermaster of the men's Red Cross detachment and got an ambulance for Colwyn Bay before there was any ambulances got on the counties, and he equipped it and he got the men and they ran it free for many years, and I was on the ambulance for 20 years until father died. And now they've still got one as well as the county ambulances, and it's still voluntary. So I come from a family of Red Cross
yes.
people.
What about your mother? Was she involved?
No, mother only helped father, but father was the one that started it really in Colwyn Bay. And a very nice gentleman, Mr. Jones Mortimer from Brennerstedford, was the commandant. Mr. Reynolds of the National Westminster Bank, I think he was, then it's moved now. And father was the quartermaster. My uncle was his assistant. So when our commandant was asked to open a hospital from the first Western General Hospital, Manchester, for convalescent to come here, I had then got my orders to go abroad. And another girl with me. So Mrs. Mulder was the commandant. She said to father, oh, don't let your daughter go. I couldn't open a hospital if she wasn't here doing something. So Daisy Allen went to Malta. I stayed back. She said, I'll see you go abroad. Well, it was that was about Christmas time. We were opening in February. And it's not far from here. Mrs. Mull was very pleased. So I stayed till 12 months in the June, and I was called up again. And I was posted to the first Eastern General Hospital, Cambridge. I was there nearly 2 years. And then several of us went from Cambridge abroad with very short notice. We were told on the Thursday we had to go to London on the Friday, get a tropical kit. And there was 3 sisters and 4 VADs. So we went for the day to London, to the Army and Navy stores and shops to get things, came back, and we had to leave on the Saturday.
What did your kit London. Include? What did you have to buy?
Kit. A big kit back about this tall.
Oh, about 4 feet tall?
Yes, easy. With a bed, a table, a chair, buckets, 2 or 3, a hand wash basin. And they were heavy, of course, and then we had to buy our summer kit, our clothes. We came back in the day, we were just at Friday, Saturday went to London. When I got there, mother and father had gone from here overnight, because we didn't know which day we were leaving, but anyhow, we were to leave on the Monday. We stayed at the York Hotel, Berner Street. The sisters and we four, and we were accumulating en route, as you might say, a batch of 50 altogether, until we got to Marseille. From Paris we stayed a night. I think there were 25 there. Then we travelled the next day to Marseille, from Marseille by jeep to the most awful men's camp you could ever imagine. We had to no sleeping accommodation. We hadn't got our luggage or kit or anything. They had to be found, and three of us had to sleep in two camp beds, so you can imagine. So my one friend that was with me, coming out for the second time, she was torpedoed on the Transylvania 6 months before, and she said, if you're going, I'm going with you. So she was with me, and she had been, she was torpedoed off Italy. Came back to the same hospital, First Eastern General. Then, a day or two, beginning of the week, I said, you're not going to stand for this camp, are you, Northern? She said, well, I don't know what to do. I said, I'll tell you what to do. Let's go and see the DDMS. Do you know who they are? The District Director of Medical Services. So three of us went down, had tea in the town, in Marseille, went to the army office, told him the conditions of the place. I said, we have to walk along a long field, we have to wash in the open air in horse troughs that the troops use. And I said, I remember you, this is my friend, he said, I mean, it's not long ago, is it? You didn't I help you in Italy? So my friend said, yes, you did. And he said, I'll see to it. I'll come up and have a look myself. So he came up. He said, the trouble is we're waiting for escorts of ships in the harbour. We've got the ships for the nurses, but we have no escort, waiting for two battleships, torpedoed destroyers, to come. So when I don't know how many nurses there would be altogether, but 150 were to come on our boat. One nurse for every 100 troops, they worked it out at. So he said, well, the ship can take you in. So he arranged for all the nurses to go on board. So that's what happened.
So how long was it that you were waiting to go on the ship?
I can't just remember the day, but it was the 3rd of December when we left London. A night in Boulogne, we went up to our hospital that we'd opened from Cambridge at Wimereux, saw our staff and the matron, and then we went to Paris, stayed in a beautiful American hotel in Paris, in comparison to where we'd be. Boulogne wasn't too good. But the fact that we were in this awful tent camp and the horse troughs to wash it, no joke. So we went on board. I think about a few days. They had to get ready for us. And it was a first and second class cruising boat.
Now, was this the Aragon?
The Aragon, that went to South America in peacetime. And we had first class accommodation. But there was not that difference in wartime. But we had the accommodation anyhow. And there were 150 nurses on board.
So it had been changed into a hospital ship?
No, it wasn't a hospital ship. I came home on a hospital ship.
Well, why were there so many nurses on it then?
only to take us to where we were going.
I see, we just for transport.
We were told it would possibly be the Dardanelles. So after leaving Paris, we were going into the unknown. We just didn't know where we would land. Well, we got to Malta, all right, although the captain said we'd been followed by submarines.
Yes, before you describe that, what was it like on the ship? What were your accommodations like?
Well, it was first class, but...
How many of you shared a room?
Two on that ship. We hadn't had a two-berth cabin, and there were some four, but... We were fortunate to have two. They didn't alter the ship at all, really. I don't know what the troops had. Oh, they slept on the deck of where we were on some sort of mattresses. We didn't see that far. But when we'd been in bed a while, you heard things going on the deck. And the men slept under cover, but on deck.
And what did you nurses do during
Nothing
the voyage?
Going out. There was no nursing to do. All the men were
just
well
Just read a book or something?
We did no work at all going out. It was a real holiday. You sat on deck and read, but you know, no nursing to do. But coming back, of course, it was a hospital ship.
Yes.
And we were on duty every other day.
But when you're on the Aragon,
yes.
And you were going out, you were near Malta.
We were in Malta. They wouldn't permit nurses to go ashore.
Why was that?
I don't know. Only officers could go ashore. No troops or nurses. We were there a day or two, maybe. I can't remember quite. And then the captain told us not to undress. For the next two or three nights, we were evidently making for North Africa, but where, we didn't know. So we were zigzagging.
Why did he tell you not to undress?
Because of being followed by German submarines.
So you might have to leave the ship in a hurry?
May have to. So he told us not to undress, but if we liked, we could either sleep in the saloons or in our cabins, but the men would still be sleeping on deck and down below somewhere in the third class, I think. We never went down. Well, it was the 3rd of December when we left England, and we were torpedoed on the Sunday the 30th of December. So it was nearly a month's journey, wasn't it? Then, after Malta, we were already where we'd... But it was very hot, and we went on deck with just our skirts and shirt libraries and ties. And we hadn't all our luggage. It had all been some of it. The captain had. We hadn't only what we could carry. So... On the 30th of December, that morning, the captain told somebody, and we got to know, that we'd had orders from the headquarters ship in Alexandria Harbour that we had to stop and wait for the pilot. Well, we stopped waiting for the pilot. Well, no ship, it seems. I was told it afterwards because I had a letter of introduction to the purser on the handle. I knew his brother very well. He was a great friend of my brother's and a friend that was killed. And he came up to Cambridge to see me. He said, "Now listen, if ever you get to Egypt, you must contact my brother. And the other one is the consul in Cairo." So he said, "When you want to go to Cairo, just let them know and you can stay with them." So I said, "Oh, that's very nice to know." Well, it did prove most helpful because I could get leave to go out to dinner always from Matron because of knowing this family, you see. And they used to take me to dinner and sometimes lunch if it was morning off. Anyhow,